This podcast episode is brought to you by Paleo Valley's Organic Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Now, we all know that many olive oils are cut with seed oils or that they are rancid, and so it's not always easiest to find a quality and properly sourced olive oil. Yes, in case you didn't know, many store-bought olive oils are diluted or blended, compromising both taste and quality, and may even cause rancidity. I'm really glad that Paleo Valley's extra virgin olive oil remains pure and unadulterated, sourced from a single organic valley in Greece. Paleo Valley ensures freshness and nutrient content by packaging their olive oil in dark glass bottles. At a certain point, I stopped using extra virgin olive oil, but once our practice started working with people with chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS, we started recommending it for the reduction of TGF-beta-1. It is an immune system marker that shows inflammation both for COVID-19, SIRS, and actually many other illnesses. So if your TGF-beta-1 is high, you may want to try incorporating a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. Make sure to check it out. It comes in a 2-pack package. And remember, all Paleo Valley products are guaranteed with a money-back guarantee. Go to paleovalley.com/NWJ to get 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting companies that support this podcast. Hey guys, it's Judy from Nutrition with Judy. Thanks for joining me today. While you're here, please make sure to like and subscribe. If you're listening to this on podcast, please make sure to leave a review as this allows my content to get in front of more people. And thank you for that. My name is Judy Cho, and I'm board certified in holistic nutrition, and I have a private practice where we focus on root cause healing, and it often starts with the Carnivore Cures meat-only elimination diet. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Autumn Smith. She is one of the co-founders of Paleo Valley, Wild Pastures, and I think a burger joint as well. Paleo Valley sponsored the Cutting Against the Grain as well as Nutrition with Judy podcast. And I was really intrigued by their products because I wasn't as familiar with their products. So once I started learning more, I really wanted to learn more about the people behind the product as well as the products themselves. I asked Autumn to come on our channel so that we can learn a little bit more about their whole mission. It also really gave me hope that we can have these grassroots movements where we can have good products out there and share with the community so that we can really heal. Autumn has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in dance from the University of Montana. She was dancing professionally while becoming a certified yoga instructor. She used to be a celebrity fitness trainer with Tracy Anderson and has even gone on world tours with Jennifer Lopez. Autumn soon learned that exercise alone was not enough, and she was struggling with irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, and anxiety, and even depression and an eating disorder. Autumn studied with the Institute for the Psychology of Eating to become a certified eating psychology coach, and also has obtained a master's in holistic nutrition. Autumn is also a certified FDN practitioner, and her husband, as well as their family members, have created the Paleo Valley's mission. I met some of the co-founders at KetoCon, and they are just so genuine in person, and it was why I wanted to share this brand. This episode is not sponsored by Paleo Valley. I really just wanted to marry the information that I learned from Paleo Valley and introduce this company to our communities. If you're looking for products and missions behind companies that are really for the people and providing quality products that are not skimping on sourcing and ingredients, and Paleo Valley is one of those few companies. I really think that as we get to learn companies that do things right, that then we will be motivated to create other companies that will do the same thing. And if the marketplace shares that these are the products that we want to purchase, that we can create a grassroots movement. If you listen to the conversation, she brings up how in meat sticks, there's this general practice of using seed oils in meats that we never even know of. I was pretty surprised because I didn't know citric acid was used in that way as well. But these are the things that if you get behind a company and see a lot of what goes on behind the scenes, you learn a lot more. Let's get right into the interview. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have you really get to know my community. So for the people that are listening and watching that may not know you, if you can introduce yourself.
Okay. My name's Autumn Smith, and I'm a co-founder of Paleo Valley and Wild Pastures, and more recently Wild Pastures Burger Company, and a mother, and all of the things. So, and I'm really excited to be here. So thanks for letting me.
I know you have a little bit of a health journey. So what made you sort of start Paleo Valley and then even move on to Wild Pastures? If you could just share a little bit about your story.
I will. Yeah, I'll give you an abbreviated version. But I had digestive issues starting around age 10, and no doctor really knew what to do with me, even though we tried a lot of things. And I had irritable bowel. That's what they told me. And so when I got into my teens, those digestive issues started to really kind of snowball into mental health issues. That link wasn't really understood at the time, but anxiety, depression, an eating disorder. And when we tried the psychiatric meds and they didn't work for me, I learned to use substances because I needed some sort of relief and I wasn't finding it. And so I kind of went down that rabbit hole, got kicked out of my parents' house before I even graduated high school. So I was in a very rough state. And fortunately, I had a love of learning and dance. I still, you know, went to college, studied dance and psychology, probably trying to figure myself out a little bit, made it to LA. But it wasn't until I really met my husband, because I was actually working as a celebrity fitness trainer. So from the outside, it looked like I was making it happen, but he knew me. He got to see me up close and realized, you are suffering. You're suffering. And we need to figure out why. And so we got to the root of it through dietary change. And it was such a transformational experience for me that I decided like I had to quit being a fitness trainer to learn what the heck just happened. And so I went back to school and we went into physical products because one of my last assignments as a trainer under Tracy Anderson was to go on a world tour. And I just reclaimed my health. I was feeling on top of the world, but then throwing that little piece where I wasn't in the same spot for more than 2 days for a period of 7 months, I realized, wow, I had my health. I can't maintain this. I need the tools. And so when we got back to the United States, we decided we're going to create physical products for people who are on the move, or just to make sure that these tools are convenient and readily available for anyone, anywhere with any lifestyle. And then we got into Wild Pastures because the beef stick was our first product. And we established a lot of really amazing relationships with farmers and ranchers. And they were teaching us about regenerative agricultural methods and how different they were from other methods and how they had the potential to heal the environment and, you know, improve human health. And the problem was they didn't want to market. They didn't know how to find the consumers like us who were really, really interested in supporting this kind of product. And so we decided to become the middleman because my clients, as a holistic nutritionist, also told me it's not convenient. I can't find it. And when I do, it's expensive. So we thought if we can make it available, accessible, cheap, convenient to support these types of farmers, we could really transform the system. So we went in Wild Pastures in 2018 and then started our burger restaurant because we just kind of want to infiltrate the market and meet people where they are. So if you like fast food, great. We're going to have a burger joint sourced from regeneratively raised farms that doesn't use seed oils, that doesn't have sugar. And yeah, just trying to meet people where they are is kind of the whole ethos behind our company and make healthy choices really easy.
That's amazing. I didn't realize you had a burger company. That's pretty cool. and when I spoke with Matt, I love that about you guys, that you're trying to make regenerative agriculture, those meats, a lot more affordable, because that's the biggest complaint I get in our carnivore community is that it's so expensive or that we have to ship it from certain big name farms, but it's not sustainable in that sense too, or lots of other things. But I love that you work with these smaller farmers to really bring all of this to market in a more affordable way.
Yeah, we have to get really creative, right? I don't think it should be an elitist thing. And if we're interested in really transforming the system, it can't be. And right now we have like 70% of the grass-fed meat is imported, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense because not only, you know, the carbon footprint and associated with that, but also we're missing the valuable opportunity to heal our soils here in America and create American jobs and restore rural communities that are, you know, reestablishing the health of our ecosystem. So yeah, it's been a journey and it's a lot of trial and error, but we are just dead set on like this being something that everyone can opt into if it aligns with their values.
I love it. I love it so much. Let's talk a little bit about your health journey. So it's so crazy. You and I have such a similar health journey. I also struggled with gut issues and then mental illness and eating disorder. So it's wild. But what do you think contributed to your gut issues? And then do you think it was the gut issues that caused your mental illness? What do you think about all of that?
It's so funny. What a great question, right? So I think there were a lot of contributing factors, right? And I think that my digestive issues preceded my mental health issues. And so in that way, definitely contributed. I think it was an inflammatory thing. We know that at least for some people who are depressed, inflammation can be at the root of that. Right. So I think, yeah, it's kind of like an adaptive response, right? But also also, I think I also grew up in a ballet community. I was working with one of the principals of the Bolshoi at a very young age. I was teaching the ballet classes in my town since I was 16. So I think there was a level of stress associated with that lifestyle as well. So I think maybe a little bit of stress paired with a processed food diet, because in the ballet community, I learned like it's about calories. And if you just keep your calories low, then you don't have to worry, you know, like you'll be healthy, you'll be fit. And what I did then is like, oh, but I'm still a kid and I want to eat these processed foods and candy. So I will just eat them. And so I think processed foods, inflammation, and then a lack of the nutrients that my developing brain actually required to calm me down and provide stability and just proper function. So all of these factors, stress, processed foods, lack of nutrients, all contributed, I think. But I do think that my gut dysfunction, because it was left unaddressed and because dietary factors were never explored whatsoever, I think it absolutely caused it to at least some extent, my mental health struggles.
Hey guys, I'm excited to share that I'll be speaking at Hack Your Health by KetoCon May 31st through June 2nd. You can come by and say hi while I do a book signing or join me during the food addiction panel or the triumphs and troubleshooting on a carnivore diet panel on the main stage. Hack Your Health by KetoCon is the largest event in the U.S. focused solely on the science and stories of tools to improve your health journey. As part of the conference, there are over 200 vendors and 70 speakers that include medical professionals, practitioners, coaches, and experts. I love this event because it's the largest community gathering of like-minded people. I guarantee you, you'll make at least one friend. Make sure to get your 3-day pass and use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your 3-day general admission pass. Go to hackyourhealth.com and get tickets today. It's an incredible experience you don't want to miss. And if you're at the conference, make sure to come by and say hello. Remember, use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your tickets. And then in terms of the gut health, what did you do to start healing your gut?
It was amazing, right? So we just did 30 days. My husband was like, let's do 30 days where you cut out processed foods and see what happens. And my digestive issues were gone. Like there was nothing left after 30 days. And I was so inspired by that. I asked 200 of my friends, put them in a Facebook group. I was like, guys, I can't believe this. This seems crazy. Why don't you do it and see what happens? And a lot of them reported like really extraordinary benefits, I thought, okay, I'm really onto something here. So we went to a naturopath and did find I had parasites and I had food sensitivities and, you know, gluten is very damaging for me, as is garlic, which was very interesting to find out. But yeah, through this trial and error, and then, you know, of course, eliminating the foods is kind of the first thing. And then reestablishing my ability to break down foods with enzymes and reestablishing healthy gut microbiome was another one, with probiotics and fermented foods. And then, of course, just giving my body the nutrients that it needed to have a really healthy gut lining, and also addressing parasites, you know, through some, I tried Biocide and then a few other products. But yeah, it was just like a total cleaning house of the gut and just like an attention paid to it. And over the course of a few years, I have zero digestive issues, and I'm definitely more mentally healthy than I've ever been in my entire life. And I'd be lying if I said it was only food, right? I've had to also rewire some thought patterns and, you know, get down to the nitty gritty of like what was driving that level of stress in my life as well. But if I hadn't stabilized my biology, I don't think I would have had that foundation to work from. So
yeah. And I see that a lot in our community as well. When people start eating just real meats, and maybe they started a paleo diet or keto diet, but they were still adding some of the processed, you know, the keto treats. But once they go and eat just wholesome meats, but generally they feel so much better, lots of mental health healing and clarity, and then fatigue dissipates. And then a lot of the gut issues really, really subside. I do see if people are very seriously hurt. So let's say they have ulcerative colitis or very severe gut issues, maybe C. diff. I don't think the meat or the diet alone will fix everything, but they still will leaps and bounds feel better. So I fully get what you went through.
Yeah. And I think your community will be interested. I really didn't like meat when I was growing up. I wasn't a vegetarian or a vegan necessarily, but it was just not something I was very interested in consuming. And And it wasn't until I really kind of caught up with some of the research, Dr. Felice Jacka and other people, there's a lot of people talking about it today, like just meat is protective. And so I've really gotten into it. My body craves it now. I think I didn't have the digestive machinery, enzymes, hydrochloric acid. I didn't have that. And so when I ate it, I didn't feel well, but it wasn't that I should avoid meat. It was that I should fix my digestion.
That makes sense. You're a fitness expert. So in terms of exercise and movement, where do you think the importance of nutrition versus movement is?
That's such a good question. And I think it just depends on who you are. So I had my life devoted to looking a certain way, right? Looking fit. I remember walking down the aisle. I was so like jacked that I had to like put my hands up so that my veins weren't bulging. Not that it's a bad thing they were. It was just like something. And this was at a time when I still wasn't well, right? So you can be really fit and not be well. And so I think if you're someone like me who is devoting every moment to exercise and you're ignoring your diet and you're eating crappy food, then diet is everything, right? That was the piece that changed it for me. Whereas if you're someone who's really dialed in on the diet, but you're not moving, I think you're missing an incredibly valuable opportunity. Like we know movement and exercise can act like an antidepressant essentially. And so I think in terms of weight loss or something like that, like 80-20 probably, I say diet is more important, add the exercise in. But I think that both of them are incredibly important pieces of the puzzle. And you can't discount one over the other, even though food was definitely a more powerful form of medicine for me at that point in my life. I know that movement was a thing that probably kept me from totally self-destructing my entire life. That was my medicine, even when I wasn't my best self. So yeah, I think if you're trying to lose weight, 80% diet, 20% movement. If you're looking for mental health benefits, I think they both in a best case scenario, they're both there and they're both happening on a daily basis to some extent. You don't have to be a fitness and endurance athlete or an expert, but I also saw a lot of the clients I worked with at Tracy Anderson who would do 2 hours of exercise a day, sometimes 1 hour of cardio and 1 hour of muscular structure. And until they changed their diet, their body didn't really change. So it kind of just depends on where you are and what you're working with. But I think they're both important. Probably leading with food is the way I'd go. And then just adding, you know, movement that you love on a daily basis if you're trying to change both things.
One thing I notice in the wellness space or the fitness space is that, you know, the women that look really jacked and that have the six pack, they look like they're competing or they're going to be on stage. A lot of them may have, not a lot, but some of them may have hormonal issues. Did you notice a shift when you decided to eat more nutrient-dense foods? Like maybe you weren't as cut or there was a shifting in your body composition. Did you notice any? Do you believe that in order to really sufficiently feed your body that you may have to give up on some of that physique, or is that not even a thing?
Oh, that's such a good question. I actually noticed the opposite because I worked for Tracy Anderson. I was literally working out 6 hours a day prior to my dietary transformation. And I still looked, you know, strong, but it wasn't until I went to the whole foods diet that people were like, whoa, like, what did you just do? Like, it seemed like the inflammation just kind of went out of my body or something. And I had so much better definition.
Sure.
And so for me, that was my experience. But I think it's a little bit different for everybody. But I think only eating, you know, meats and high quality protein sources, that's only going to help continue to keep your muscle in check and to help you preserving that muscle mass as we age. So no, I don't think so. I think if anything, like a diet really high in wholesome proteins and animal products is going to enhance the way you look, right?
In terms of mental health, so I know that you say the gut probably contributed some. How much do you think nutrition affected your mental health?
Oh, for me, I'm just one of those people who is exquisitely sensitive. I think just to blood sugar levels specifically, I was living on a blood sugar roller coaster because I was avoiding meat and eating all these processed foods. And also I wasn't nourished as a result. And my gut, literally, I would look pregnant and bloated after meals because I was just feeding the wrong type of bacteria. And so I think, and also we know, you know, processed foods and they have certain ingredients that can lead to inflammation and can degrade the gut lining and all of those things. And so I think it was the most important factor for me. If I had had any idea that changing my diet could make me feel stable and calm and not anxious, I would have done it a long time ago, but I had no idea. But the response or the results were so dramatic that I do think that it was, you know, 70% of the battle for me. And then, of course, like I said, we had to address some thought patterns and ways of relating to the world, of course. But no, it was the most impactful intervention I've ever used for my mental health.
And I would agree. I mean, I was plant-based for 12 years. I had occasional fish, but throughout that time, I struggled with depression, anxiety, and then I started having an eating disorder. And in the whole time, even when I went to an intensive eating disorder facility, never once did anyone bring up that maybe being plant-based wasn't ideal. So they would change a lot of the thought patterns, and it's so good for me. And I learned a lot about myself and my needs and those things that are super important. But never once did anyone ever say, maybe you should incorporate meat in your diet. Never once in the whole time. And then it just, I just stumbled upon keto and then the carnivore community. So luckily I found that on my own, but never once again, it was either here's some different meds. Maybe we try different antidepressants. Maybe we try different antipsychotics. Maybe you need more therapy. You just need to figure out intuitive eating a lot better. But again, never once was, well, you need to be eating more fat or you need to add a little bit of meat. It was never on the table. And so never once did I question, especially growing up in California, that my plant-based diet could even be detrimental for me. So I'm fully on the same page.
Oh my gosh, it makes me so angry. And I just interviewed a girl at Josie. She's an ex-plant eater. Same thing. She had ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
Never once in years and years and years of treatment. And you hear about that. That's why I'm so passionate about this. So many girls, especially young girls, are getting the message that this plant-based diet is the way to go and you have to do it to protect the environment. It's like, but it's at the expense of yourself. And like we said, the nuances in regenerative agriculture, we're not telling people to stop driving because it could potentially damage the environment. We're telling people to go, you know, walk more and move to electric cars. But at the same time, we need to say, okay, if you want to eat meat, and you should, because there's important nutrients that we can't get from just plants alone, then we need to pick the type of agriculture that aligns with our beliefs. But I think it is so dangerous. And I hope one day that this will be the foundation. It has to be, right? We have to do diet, movement, and then psychiatric, other types of intervention. I know, like, we were probably more functioning than some people, right? There are different levels of psychiatric dysfunction, and meds can be very useful in certain instances. I know my mom was a special ed teacher. I'm familiar with that side of the puzzle too. But I think for people who are anxious, depressed, you know, just kind of struggling, I think food should be the foundation. I wholeheartedly believe that.
There was a time I was working at Target and I was just using my computer out there. There was a homeless person that came and you can tell he had some mental issues. So I think he was struggling with OCD, but he would take a step forward and back and he kept doing that. And then I was there for several hours and I saw him eat a full box of Debbie cakes, or, you know, those like really junky cakes, a whole bag of chips. And that was his, I guess, his lunch. And obviously it's something he can afford, but I couldn't help but wonder how much of your mental illness is because, I mean, obviously being on the streets is super stressful, but, you know, how much of it is also the diet that you're eating? You're eating these things to give you calories and nutrients, but they're made from all this processed junk and fillers and food dyes and seed oils. And then you're eating that. And then when he was leaving, he was doing that foot action again. And it just broke my heart because if he were to even just buy hot dogs, that would be so much better, right? Than eating those foods. So I agree with you. I think it's a lot of it is nutrition.
I know. And I had a dear friend, I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly, but he was one of my favorites as I grew up. And he, like, as he aged, slipped into schizophrenia and eventually did. He has left this world, unfortunately. But I do. I look back in time and think, like, oh, because his diet was terrible. Always eating processed foods, always eating alcohol. And we know there are many factors at play, but so many times I just wish I had nudged him in the direction or at least been able to say something.
Yeah. And I mean, the silver lining is now you're doing that now. So I totally agree. I mean, I get it fully. In terms of like the additives and fillers, like how much do you think that affects in our foods, even in our supplements? How much do you think that affects our mood and our gut?
That's such a good question, right? So, I mean, we know that just processed foods in general are associated with worse mental health. And I don't think we know exactly why. I think there's a lot of mechanisms, glycation, inflammation, but there are at least two ingredients that they've looked at in the literature, and they're emulsifiers, polysorbate 80 and is one of them, and found in, you know, all these processed foods that have been found to create inflammation and changes in our microbiota, and also negatively impact the gut lining. And so anytime that happens, right, when something happens in our gut, the vagus nerve transmits that information, that inflammation, that inflammatory state right to our brain. And so I think, A, we know some of the ingredients. There's demonstrable evidence. Also, some non-nutritive sweeteners can also change the gut microbiota. And so, yes, I think, and then MSG, I don't think this is across the board, but things like MSG for some people are very stimulating: headaches, migraines, depression, anxiety. And then we have things like artificial colors, right? And flavorings, where in Europe, they feel like it's valid enough, a risk or an association where they put it, it's a warning. But here in America, you know, and I know the research has been mixed there. I do think there's a subset of the population who is exquisitely sensitive to these types of additives. And I think that's probably you and I, and that's probably the audience that we're speaking to. We're kind of realizing something is going on with these foods, and we may be individually more susceptible than others. But also, aside from that, like those ingredients and fillers, most of our calories are coming from these hyperpalatable foods, right? 60% of them. And so not only are we getting these ingredients that are potentially inflammatory and going to impact both gut and brain health, but then we're also displacing all of the foods that we literally need to build a healthy brain, right? Our brain is amino acids, it's fat, it's micronutrients, it's glucose, it's the things we eat become our brain. And so if we're eating so many processed foods that don't have that intact food matrix or those micronutrients anymore, and missing out on the other foods, I mean, it can be absolutely devastating depending on who you are.
Right, right. And there's a lot of ingredients that are permitted in the US that are not permitted in other countries, and additives and fillers. And it's quite scary, because if other countries, Canada is another one, that say these ingredients are not safe, then why are they safe in the US? In my book, I shared how in the UK, the McDonald's sundae, the ingredient list is like half the list of the US's list. And in the US, they use food dyes, whereas in the UK, they don't even have it. And the question is always, why? Is it because it's cheaper? Is it because we allow that? But why can't we just use the same ingredients that are words that we can understand in the UK compared to in the US? So
I think it's because in Europe, they practice the precautionary principle. And I think like me as an individual, like everything to me that is not in alignment with evolution is kind of a like, I'm not sure until you absolutely positively can demonstrate that this is safe. And I think that's kind of their mentality. Whereas in America, we're all about progress and innovation and, you know, making money. And so, you know, how can we create cheaper ingredients that make processed foods easier and more shelf stable and more convenient and like cost less? And so I think it's just, we have different priorities. And that's why it's really important to have these conversations, especially living in America, because even if these ingredients have been tested and deemed safe, right, some of them got GRAS status or generally recognized as safe status, kind of got lumped in, right? And just kind of got grandfathered in, even though they didn't have adequate testing. And even ingredients that do have adequate testing, you have to think the combinations with which we're ingesting them and the amount and the frequency, those are things that you can't really test for long-term, even if you're having these, you know, toxicity and safety trials. And so, yeah, I think that it's a giant experiment, and it's really scary. And I wish that we would adopt something more in alignment with Europe's precautionary principle, though I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I find it so fascinating that a lot of people will come to America and say, oh my gosh, your food is so cheap here. And so I used to think that at a point of, yes, it is cheap. It's wonderful that we can afford so many things for so cheap. But I think we end up paying our medical bills later with it, right? So since we are adding so much crap to our food, and really we have to check the labels, and the food manufacturers, when MSG becomes known, they start changing the wording so that there's still MSG, but it's labeled differently. Or if people are looking out for the added sugars, then they add 10 different versions of sugar in the ingredients so that sugar is not at the top of the list. And they do all these things. But I mean, we are one of the sickest countries in the world, right? When we have so many things we can afford. Yes, the price per product may be cheaper, but I definitely think we're paying for it in the long run.
Oh, 100%. I think it's an illusion that we have a cheap food system, right? We have all these subsidies, corn and wheat, and where we create all these hyper palatable foods and that are making us addicted and making us overweight, making us sick. And then the way that we're raising our animals is polluting the environment and creating outbreaks of certain like E. coli and things like that. And also higher rates of respiratory issues in people who live near confined animal feeding operations and the degradation to our soil. I mean, if you actually considered these in these equations where they're deciding what something costs, these foods would be unaffordable and we would see them as far more expensive. But it's just the fact that when we're looking at price, we're not seeing all those other things. And so we just think they're cheap.
Right. No, I agree. What do you think about the connection of the skin and nutrition and gut health?
Oh man, I had cystic acne for so long. It was one of the best side effects ever because it really just disrupted every aspect of my life, right? I was always anxious. Oh, I want to go see my friends, but I'm so embarrassed. And what about the lighting? And oh my gosh, are they going to see and they're going to think I'm so disgusting, whatever. But when I changed my diet, it really helped. Now, it wasn't the end of the story, just going to Whole Foods, because my husband and I were juicing garlic. And because we were trying to clear out my gut, I'm sensitive to garlic, like exquisitely. And we found out, and this is so weird, that it's the one that gave me the cystic acne around my nose. So yes, I think the gut health, your skin health, I mean, they're the same, essentially, not always, but I've always noticed if I have disruption in my gut health, I will have a breakout. And we also know if you're not absorbing your nutrients, because if you have gut dysfunction, like vitamin A and zinc, and if you have trouble with omega-3 fatty acids, if you're not getting the nutrients you need, then your skin health is going to suffer. And also if you're eating a lot of sugar and having a lot of dips and swings and glycation, then you can age your skin more rapidly. So I think diet is one of the, and antioxidants, right? We all know that that's why vitamin C is in our topical products. Antioxidants work from the inside out. So I think there's a profound relationship. Certain foods, garlic for me, milk for some, you know what I mean? Processed foods, even some chocolate for some other people. But yeah, I've noticed that once I found my triggers, once I healed my gut, my skin almost never breaks out now, which it was an everyday kind of thing before.
Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of people don't think twice about what they put on their skin when it's the biggest organ of our body, right? So a lot of people have been using a lot of disinfectants during the pandemic. And I just wonder, yeah, we're using so much when we have a skin microbiome and it's our first layer of defense to the outside world. But it's just
very, it's funny. And like something I want, like, in the beginning, when I was like, oh, I need to do everything holistic, I was slathering coconut oil. I just wanted to say this for anyone with acne prone skin, like coconut oil is not a great idea. And it worked against me. But yes, cleaning up your products, I found like argan oil, it is so much better and gentler for my skin. But yes, I totally agree.
So I know you're really into sourcing and you care a lot about the ingredients. One product that I love from you is the Essential C. And I think a lot of people that are listening and watching don't know that a lot of the ascorbic acid that's created in other products for vitamin C is made from corn. Can you talk a little bit about why you care so much about specific ingredients and then a little bit about the Essential C product?
Yeah. Okay. So basically, I don't ever want to create like fear around food, sure, right? I think we all have to do the best that we can. But I knew if these products were going to be the staple of my diet, my family's diet, and people I love's diet, I do want them to be of the highest quality, right? So organic foods without pesticides, that's important on a regular basis. And 100% grass-fed and finished beef. I'm actually doing my dissertation right now. And you can see the changes in the nutrient profile of the final product based on what the animal is eating. And of course, they have a lot of additives in animal agriculture, ractopamine, speaking of being banned in other countries, that's like 160 other countries it's banned in, you know, antibiotics, we have a very real threat there. So for me, it's just the way something is raised, like every time I'm voting for a system, a type of food production. And so for us as a company, I really want that to be the kind that aligns with my values. And that's why we are sourcing. And also these farmers and ranchers, they become like family to us, right? And so we're just here trying to support them and making it the easy and accessible and cheap option for everyone else to support people in products that align with their values. Now, Essential C, I ran across the work of Paul Check and Dr. Royal Lee. Do you know them?
No, I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. So I think they were the first people I really studied in nutrition, and they talked a lot about whole foods and synergy and just like this holistic view of health rather than foods as isolated nutrients. There was a magic in them that other types of products couldn't really recreate. And we've seen this in the literature, right? Certain types of synthetic nutrients have actually increased the risk of certain diseases. And so for us, it was really important to kind of have that humility and to use Mother Nature, use food as medicine. And so that's what our product line is about. And our Essential C came from the fact that over 90% of vitamin C products are coming from cornstarch, GMO cornstarch, most of the time in this highly processed process. And also it just represents the outer antioxidant shell, right, of the vitamin C molecule. Dr. Royal Lee, he was a world-renowned scientist. I mean, he was a genius. And he talked about vitamins not as isolated compounds, but as complexes, right? That contained many things that all worked together. His analogy was kind of like, well, which part of a watch tells time, right? It's not the hands, because you need the motor and everything else working. So it's kind of like that. So we didn't want to create a product that would just be an isolated fraction of a nutrient from GMO corn. We wanted to create a whole food-based vitamin C that would have the benefits of vitamin C, but then in addition, the benefits of all of the other cofactors that work together. And so we just found camu berry, acerola cherry, and amla berry, which are very revered foods, superfoods in their own rights, and then made them really accessible because it's really hard to find them.
Right.
And put them into a capsule so that anyone could reap the benefits of just whole food vitamin C. And to your point about mold, like manufactured citric acid, if you see citric acid on a label, a lot of times you think it's lemons and lime derived, but not in America. Most of the time it's derived from black mold and citric acid. It's a very highly processed product. And there is at least one case report in the literature that I've found linking this manufactured citric acid to inflammatory conditions. It was a case report of four people who just seemed like it was that particular ingredient that was driving their inflammation, and that it didn't happen with actual citric acid from a lemon or a lime. And so just to say, you know, I do think there's a time and a place for isolated nutrients or whatever. But when it comes to like what you're going to use on the daily, I just think if you're using isolated synthetic nutrients, you're missing something that you could also gain if you were to use whole foods instead.
Yes, I fully agree. I think it's, you know, we're playing mad chemist a lot of times when we're taking isolated nutrients. Out of curiosity, I know that I think you have two supplements, maybe you have a few more, but one is the essential C and then you have the apple cider vinegar one. But what made you do those two?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like our product line is just like the evolution of what I decided that I needed to kind of replete my nutrient stores. So it went for beef sticks because I needed meat and like, there's a lot of research to say it's protective against mental health. And then our organ complex actually came next. Cause I was like, love organs, not going to eat them. Love the benefits of organs, right? It was like initially like this like spark of energy that I didn't have when I ate them. And then the apple cider vinegar complex was just like, okay, so my enzyme production is low. My hydrochloric acid levels are probably low from living with this low grade chronic stress. And how do I replete those levels naturally using food? And apple cider vinegar, turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, these are all foods historically that people have used in other cultures as a digestive aid. So we put those, and then the vitamin C, like I said, there's a lot of really great research about vitamin C and mental health. And it was one of the nutrients that I tried and I was like, whoa, even in isolated and synthetic form, I initially found benefits. I do think there's drawbacks to that, but I was just like, wow, I need to create a really high quality version of this for people. And so that's for vitamin C. And then we have our neuro effect, which is mushrooms. And we just, yeah, it's basically just, we're using food as medicine. And these are foods that you probably wouldn't run into in a grocery store, and that we want to make really accessible and easy for people to just put in their diets on a regular basis. So that's why we don't do multivitamins, because I think there is a time and a place, right? But for every day, I think the more important effort is how do we go to a food first philosophy, and how do we use food as medicine, and then fill in the gaps when we need to with other types of supplementation. But food first is our philosophy.
I love it. I love it. And then in terms of the supplements, you know, like one thing I'll get is I partner with two practitioner grade supplement companies where they say that they do a lot of testing, but I'll often get people that say, well, I'll just get my omega-3s from Walmart because they're such cheaper options out there, or, you know, the multivitamin or a vitamin D form out there. Yeah. I'm not in the supplement company industry, so I don't know as much. Now I've taken some courses as to why there's like a lot of testing and the certifications, but what is it that, you know, Walmart or some other companies can sell products or supplements for so much cheaper? So it just seems like it's such a better deal than buying omega-3s for so much more expensive. Or any supplement?
Good question. Well, I think like as a business, right, if you're devoted to the business of making money, which most companies are, you're just going to find a lower quality source, right? So if you have omega-3s, you're maybe not going to get it from wild caught fish, and that might change the fatty profile of that fish, right? Then you're going to probably add ingredients that make it really easy to run on your machines, right? things that, it's not going to stick anymore. And then you're maybe going to add even like fillers to the capsules to make it look like it's full. I mean, this is a thing that happens, right? Just so that it doesn't look like you ripped people off. They'll just add extra things in there, again, to give the perception of a higher quality product, even though, you know, I wouldn't say they're not necessarily dangerous additives, but still at every stage of the process, you're just prioritizing profit over actually looking at like, what does the consumer actually need to feel their very best? And so that results in a very different type of product with poor quality sourcing, lots of different additives, and just not human health in mind. So I think they can make it really cheap because essentially they don't have your health in mind a lot of times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know specifically with the omegas, the higher quality companies or the companies that use, I guess, better sourcing. Yes, they use more of the wild caught fish. But they also, so they use in more natural versions, but there's a, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there's a version that's synthetic that they can use to make omega-3. So that also might be the reason for cost.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're actually bringing an omega-3 product from Fish Row. But yeah, like you said, these are highly processed products made synthetically. That is actually news to me. I didn't even know they could do that synthetically. So
yeah, I'll have to give you the, I think I keep thinking ethyl ester, but I don't know if that's the one, but I'll send you some information on that. That's like one thing I do know about the omegas, but all the other supplements I just didn't know enough about and was curious what your thoughts were, but it makes sense. The sourcing.
Yeah. And I want to give you an example too, that happens in meat production. This is actually the reason that we decided to ferment our beef stick was because when I looked into how they were made with something called encapsulated citric acid, which is often citric acid derived, you know, in the process that I just talked about. Sometimes from mold, and then encapsulated in hydrogenated oil, and then it just kind of melts into the stick. And it makes sense because it's 4 times faster for the beef stick to be preserved, but also you're eating those ingredients all the time. But it's just the industry standard. And when I called people to try and get them to make and ferment my beef stick, they're like, why would you do that? Like, nobody bats an eye. You don't even have to really label it. Like, nobody even cares. This is just what people do. It's not going to make you as much money. And I was like, well, because we're prioritizing something else, right? Like health. And So I know all about that and how that happens and why that happens.
So in some of the meat sticks, you're saying that they may use some type of seed oil and then it's not even on the label?
Yeah. So it will often be labeled as just citric acid, but it's something called encapsulated citric acid. So it's citric acid in these little balls of, seed oil, vegetable oil, cotton seed oil, and then literally just melts into the product to drop the pH and preserve it. So yeah, there's a lot of little tricks like that. And no one could believe that I wanted to not use the process because you didn't even really have to label it. And it seemed like a natural ingredient. But at the end of the day, I was like, no, I think those little details matter. And so we're going to figure out a way to do it differently.
Okay. That's something new. I always hear from people that citric acid is an ideal, but I didn't realize they encapsulate it. And then there's some type of fat that's not ideal with it.
Yeah. You know what? And not all products will do that. Citric acid can be in a number of products, right? And just kind of derived how we talked about earlier, a lot of times with mold but this particular type in meat production, at least, it is the industry standard, as far as I've ever heard. And you'll see it if you look in the label, citric acid is often an ingredient, unless it's fermented, which ours are. And I think there's a few other ones, but not many.
You have a child. What does your family typically eat in a day? What do you guys prioritize in terms of food?
Oh, this is a good question. So I make him eat his protein. I mean, it's animal foods first, you know, right? So typically in the morning, we'll have some sort of eggs or bacon or our wild pastures steaks, even sometimes because they're really easy, sausage. And then for lunch, it's kind of the same thing. For his snacks, he gets our beef sticks. He knows, like, I just have to eat the protein, like a deviled egg or something first before I eat the other things. And, you know, obviously we put in fruits and vegetables, and sometimes he does do gluten-free bread because at the end of the day, he also wants to feel like a normal child.
Right.
And sometimes we let him do that. And then at night is usually just like vegetables, steaks. I always try and get at least 1 to 3 fermented foods in his little body every day. So I've been really obsessed with that Cocoyo yogurt. Have you seen that?
No. I just give my kids direct probiotics, but yeah, that makes sense too.
And then our beef sticks are fermented, like I say, and there's some sauerkraut and then usually like some sort of like fruit based dessert, but it is, it's, the one thing, I don't really track anything much, but I do track my grams of protein every day because I know as I age, It's going to be, I think it's more important than almost anything else, for women, especially.
Yes, I agree. Is there a certain amount of protein you eat per meal, or do you just try to get a certain amount in a day?
That varies with my cycle, right? So in the last part of my cycle, when I'm just a little bit hungrier, I'll just be snacking all the time. And so I just make sure that protein is in that snack, not necessarily in a certain percentage, but in the early parts of my cycle, yes, at least 30 to 40, sometimes 50 grams. I have a little green shake and I put our collagen and then a high quality beef protein. It's like 50 grams of protein in this shake I make pretty much daily. But yeah, at least 30 to 50 grams every single meal. Is that what you do? What do you do?
I interviewed Dr. Donald Lehman and he's a protein expert. Yes. And so he talked about how, not that we don't absorb the protein, but that we utilize it best by using, I think, about 30 to 40 grams. I think he said 40, maybe up to 60 at most, but per meal. So it's best to actually break up your protein needs throughout the day. And so that's what I've been trying to target, even for my children. I'll try to target between 30 to 40 per meal, just to essentially optimize the amount of protein that we're using.
I love that. Yeah. And he talks about something about the leucine threshold, right? Yes. You need to get a certain amount of leucine in
per meal. Right. Yeah. And then you're not going to really get that. So he said something like, if you're trying to hit that threshold with almond milk, it would take you like a gallon and a half to get
to imagine
for your child. Right. But then I see moms in the grocery store buying the oat milks and the almond milks all day long. And it just makes me so sad because I see them with the child. I'm like, no, it's better to get the whole milk with full fat. Right. But
I know. Luckily, we have a dairy right down the street and they do the grass fed raw.
Oh, awesome. Situation.
But we were, you know, in the early part, I was worried about food sensitivities. And so he did do the almond milk. But I can tell you, like, I feel like his growth is better and everything since we switched over to the whole grass fed milk for sure.
Interesting. You know, as we're wrapping up, do you have any tips? I mean, there's so many things we talked about. We talked about mental health, skin, the microbiome, and then feeding our foods, our bodies, the proper nutrients. Are there just general wellness tips that you recommend to your clients, to people that are Paleo Valley customers?
Oh, such a good question. I think there's probably, I always like had three tips around mental health, but if we have a primarily carnivore community, it's just balancing your blood sugar, which is going to happen, and making sure that your nutrient bases are covered and making sure that you know the foods that you're sensitive to. But my all-encompassing health tip is basically probably just to learn to pay attention, right? Because even if you find a diet that's working for you right now, it might work for you right now and not later. And for me, I had many grades, like went to, you know, cut out processed foods, then went to paleo, then realized, oh shoot, maybe I need to stabilize my blood sugar. So I also tried keto and now I'm back, and what I eat changes from portion of my cycle to portion of my cycle. So if we can have a daily practice of just coming back and paying attention, finding a way to actually be in touch with what our body is doing, how it's responding, not only to the food we're eating, but to the environment that we're in, to the people we're having in our lives, and to the amount of exercise that we're trying to do. I think that is the best thing you can ever do. But, you know, not only paying attention, but then adjusting your lifestyle. Yes. To meet that. That's been the one effort that I always come back to. If I'm just kind of putting a template into place and shutting out my body's feedback in the world, that it just doesn't ever go well. So, and also just knowing that you're the only person who can tell you your perfect diet and your perfect lifestyle. And so don't give your authority away.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. I totally agree. I think there's no point in being dogmatic about a diet. If something's changed, especially your own body's feedback starts changing with your diet, then you may have to switch things up and you may have to figure out what it is. I was curious, what made you realize that you were sensitive to garlic? I mean, I know you said you went to a naturopath, but did he find it or did you find it?
Yeah, it was, I remember the day so vividly because I had just gotten married and it was my breakouts were so bad. I was in the bathtub crying and my husband's like, let's just make you an appointment. So we went to the naturopath and they did an IgG test, which I know like IgG can be good. There's drawbacks, you know, to all kinds of testing. But for me, it was very clear that garlic was like one of the things I was very sensitive to that I had never considered. And at that time I was juicing garlic daily. And so throughout time, right, as my gut health has gotten stronger and stronger, I notice I can get away with it one time, you know, and then the next time, you know, so it's changed, as, you know, sometimes food sensitivities do, but the testing was immensely helpful for just cluing me into garlic could be even a consideration for sure.
That's so interesting. Do you know if by chance your son is sensitive to garlic?
He doesn't seem to be. At least, and you know, it's funny because I've spoken with skin health experts and they say garlic and the alliums, you know, onions, garlic, they are potentially, they're irritants for a lot of people. Yeah. Now he's not breaking out yet. And so it could be something that we see developing later in life. And he has had symptoms that I can trace to food, but not necessarily skin health. And I don't think it's garlic because when we eat it, I don't notice anything changing him, but that's a good question.
I wonder also if ever since he's young now, I mean, you're feeding his microbiome well, and you're feeding him real food. So he may just have a stronger immune system just from as he's young, which then may make him tolerate garlic. So, I mean, it could be a win-win.
Yeah. And also I've tried these really remarkable products from one of my friends because he did have food sensitivities when he was a young child. And recently we've been able to kind of eradicate them except for gluten. I think that I'm just going to always be sensitive to gluten. He is too. But yeah, he does have, you know, a good immune system. He's not super sick a lot, but it has been a lot of different trial and error that I've used to help him improve his symptoms as well, just like me.
Fascinating. He's lucky to have a mom like you to just help him navigate, because a lot of people don't know when something's wrong. They will go to the doctor and the doctor will like, oh, put on this topical steroid cream on the child for some eczema, right? And or take some antibiotics or take this, take that. And it's always band-aiding the situation, but never figuring out, well, why does my child have this? Why is my child suffering from this when most kids don't? And they don't get to have that, I guess, ability. So
I know, it breaks my heart. I think that's why I like to do what I do, because I was like, I just needed one person, you know, in my life who could have told me when I was young that like you could change this whole course of your life and you could stop suffering so much. But yeah, I'm hoping to be that person for him and just everyone else I come into contact with.
And you are. I love your product. I mean, we were buying vitamin C from the practitioner company that we use, and they use ascorbic acid. And I was like, oh man. And so then we started buying Camu from an online website. And then I ran into your essential C and I was like, oh, it's like one of the three that you have. There's no added sugar. And I loved it. So I really think it's a legit product. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for letting me be here. And I do want to say, I think that like isolated vitamin C has its time and place in terms of like serious illness. And like, we know IV vitamin C therapy can be powerful, but it works differently, right? It's kind of more of like a chemotherapy agent than like something that's working in multiple ways. It's less oxidative. It is actually an antioxidant. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, there's, I think if you take too much ascorbic acid, especially the ones that are chemically made, there's a risk of higher oxalates in the body. And if people are more prone to kidney stones, that can happen. Whereas if you eat it in the whole food form, there's just a little less risk of that. And for carnivores that can't do the fruit, it's an option to get some vitamin C without all the added fructose for them. So that's where I thought it was a perfect product. And I mean, some of our community is super against supplements. I have seen it to just not hold true in our community. I do a lot of blood work, stool tests, urine tests, and a lot of people are, as much as they're eating a lot of meat, they're deficient in B vitamins because they don't have proper gut health to break it down.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yes.
Yeah. And I want to say too, there was a trial that it was just like 20 smokers, I think they used. And it was, they did ascorbic acid in one group and Camu juice, which is like one of our ingredients. And only the whole food vitamin C was able to reduce inflammation and oxidative stress. And so, yeah, like I always want to say, like, you know, if it's all you can afford, vitamin C is great, but there are differences. And like you said.
No, I absolutely see it. So where can people find you?
Yeah, you can email me anytime at autumn@paleovalley.com and I'll answer all of your questions. Or you can go to paleovalley.com or wildpastures.com. We didn't talk about it much, but it's the meat delivery service, and which is sourced only from American regenerative farmers. And then Wild Pastures Burger Company is wildpasturesburgerco.com. And we are in Boulder, but hoping to expand soon.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's awesome. Oh yeah, I'll have to have you on again to talk about Wild Pastures next time.
I would love that. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, yeah, it was an absolute pleasure. Like you said, we have a lot of synergy. So I just thank you for letting me be here.
Okay, guys, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Autumn. She was a big advocate of exercise and it just wasn't enough. I hope you also noticed that there are companies out there that provide better products. Sometimes their price point is a little bit higher than if you got something conventionally at your local Walmart or grocery store. But there's always a price to pay when we buy the cheapest products. That's why that saying, you get what you pay for, kind of comes true. And I fully understand that doing remodeling in my home right now. Figure out what makes sense for you, but I hope that this conversation really helps you consider sourcing and looking at the label and even about citric acid. Okay, guys, you know the drill. Make sure to eat a lot of meat. Take care of your bodies because it is the only place you have to live. I will talk to you later. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to the Nutrition with Judy podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please make sure to leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app so more listeners like you can find the show. If you want more practitioner care and support, head over to nutritionwithjudy.com/groups so you can get more real talk about carnivore, the environment, and root cause healing. You can also find my content on Nutrition with Judy's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Make sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter and learn more about in-depth articles with infographics at nutritionwithjudy.com/articles. You can find my 2 books, Carnivore Cure and The Complete Carnivore Diet for Beginners, on carnivorecure.com and amazon.com. At the heart of Nutrition with Judy's practice, our mission lies with a deep, unwavering passion for service and community. We will continue to empower you to have the knowledge and tools to live a life nearly symptom-free, because we firmly believe in healing and wellness for all.